I love early mornings and sunrise service and always have. And I'm always reminded, my earliest memory, I suppose my first memory of a sunrise service of any kind, anywhere, anytime, when I was a kid growing up in Winston-Salem. And if you've been to Winston-Salem, if you ever go to Winston-Salem, go visit Old Salem, the original Moravian settlement. And there is a cemetery, the Moravian cemetery, and every Easter there's a candlelight sunrise service in the cemetery. And my mother, God bless her, decided one Easter she was going to rally up three small boys and take us to the sunrise service. I imagine she only did that one time because I only remember doing it one time. But she had the courage and the confidence that she could do that, and she herded us out early before dawn, and we went to the Moravian. And I remember distinctly standing in that Moravian cemetery holding that candle in a worship service. It's interesting the things we remember. And over time, I've been to several sunrise services, and as a pastor have had the privilege and the joy of leading some over the years. I remember one in the Maiden area. Y'all know where Maiden is? Outside of Conner. One we did there by Three Crosses beside a cemetery. Now, you talk about the contrast. Those folks are still in the grave, except those who are with Jesus. You know, those bodies are in the grave. Well, Jesus' body is not in the grave. He's alive today. So that's awesome to think of, too. And, of course, at Shiloh, we've done them over the years. And I get this question a lot, you know, why are we, we're inside now. You know, we started outside, and the bugs loved that. The bugs were a big fan of our sunrise services outside. And even though we were too, we gravitated into the foyer for years, and then we moved in here, and God has blessed us with a great facility and a great place together for sunrise services. And you wonder, what point is he leading up to? Well, here's my point. You know, it doesn't matter where we are or where we worship. Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. And we celebrate this sunrise, this Easter, and every Sunday that we gather in worship, because that's why the apostles changed worship to Sunday. They said, we need to celebrate this fact. Jesus Christ has risen. He is alive today. Your Savior lives. When we arrive at a sunrise service such as this, we come with joy and we are excited and we get together and we sing songs and we celebrate. And sometimes we forget it was not like that on that first Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago. When those women went to the tomb, they went with fear. They went with grief. They were in despair. They had nothing to be joyful about yet. Not yet. But then they arrived at the tomb and the stone was removed and the body was gone. And they went and told his disciples, and they ran back, Peter and John, and they brought the report. And pretty soon the room was buzzing with the news that Jesus Christ had risen. Just as he said. I love it that the angel said that. He has risen just as he said. Just as he said. And now you know every single promise Jesus made to you, just as he said, he will carry it out. He will carry through because he is alive. It's hard for us to grasp also the emotions of that change on that morning because, I mean, Christ is risen. Everything has changed. Everything's changed. Despair is gone. We have hope. We have joy. We have salvation. We know that God is with us no matter what, and we can have peace as well. But again, on that first Easter Sunday, they were not so sure of all those things. Knowing Christ was not in the grave did not immediately help them understand everything. If anything, it brought some confusion. It brought some struggle. What comes next? Everything has changed. What comes next? I pray this morning that every person sitting in this room knows Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If not, make sure of that before the day is out today. Surrender your life to Christ. But when Christ sets us free from sin and death, when we meet the risen Jesus, it changes everything. It changes everything. And some of us respond to that freedom in different ways. We may be suddenly confused. Now what do I do with my life? We might even be a little bit afraid. God, what do you want to do with me now? I mean, I praise God, I'm set free, I'm forgiven of my sin, but my life has changed. Everything is different because of Christ and what he's done for me. In March, the Associated Press broke a story that on a small island in Indonesia, the island called Benjeni, there were men who were enslaved by fishermen and the fishing industry, and their lives now held captive, some of them living in cages, put on boats to go out and fish, and the fish being sold around the world. Those men were taken from their families by trickery and deceit. Often they were promised jobs, and then they were held captive and put on this small island, and many of them living in the woods, some in cages. They were beaten brutally. There was an individual on the island called the Enforcer, whose job was to beat the men nearly senseless if they refused to comply or they tried to escape. And the Associated Press wrote about this in March. So officials in Indonesia went to the island and they took four trawlers, four boats with them. And they pulled up to a dock at Benjeni. And they just stepped out of the dock. They walked up into an open area and the woods were right before them, and there were people standing around, and they started shouting out, "If any of you men are here against your will, if any of you are slaves and you want to be set free, come now. We have come to take you home." The elation was electric. Men dropped everything and started rushing to the dock. Some of the men ran back into the woods because their meager belongings could be held in knapsacks and paper bags, but they wanted to take them with them, so they ran back. Some were so weak and sick and thin, they had to be carried, but they kept coming, and they kept coming. The official said it was remarkable. You could see men coming out of the woods. You could see men coming down from the hills. They were rushing, screaming, shouting, hugging one another, jumping up and down. They were free. They were free. The boats filled up and filled up and filled up. The official said, at last count, there were 320 men. The first boats took out 320 men who just the day before were hopeless and enslaved. But now they were free. But here's the interesting thing. One of those men interviewed afterward voiced a concern that all the men had. He said, "I'm happy. Oh," he said, "I am really happy. But," he said, "I'm also confused. I don't know what my future is now." The Bible says that you and I are slaves to sin and death. We have been deceived. We have been tricked. We have been tempted, and we have fallen. But then Jesus Christ shows up. And he shouts our name. And when we respond, he sets us free. We are free to serve Christ. But then sometimes we wonder, what comes next? What comes next? That's where we find the apostles on that first Easter morning. If you have your Bible, look with me in John chapter 20 for just a moment. John chapter 20 and verse 19. The apostles have already found the tomb is vacant. And they have told one another, and the news has spread, and they are cloistered in this upper room because they are afraid, the Bible says, of the Jews who turned Jesus over to the Romans are still on the hunt for blood. They are still looking for someone else to accuse. They would love to arrest the disciples. The apostles and the followers of Christ know this. They woke up on that first morning, and they found the tomb was empty, and now everything is different. Everything has changed. John chapter 20, verse 19 picks up the story where John says this, in the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because of their fear of the Jews. Then Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace to you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side, so the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But one of the 12, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." After 8 days, the disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace to you. Peace to you." It's resurrection morning, and everything's changed. And when Christ shows up, three times in this passage, to those disciples who were huddled in that room, as the Bible says, John writes, for fear of the Jews, three times he says, "Peace to you." Two of those times, the words are preceded, the declaration, "Peace to you," is preceded by the statement that Jesus came and stood among them. Jesus came and stood among them, and then he declared, "Peace to you." That phrase, "peace to you," translates just one word in John's language. It's the word that arises out of that great Hebrew word, shalom. Peace to you, or peace with you. And to the Jews, what it would mean when they would greet one another or say goodbye to one another, they would say shalom, peace with you. To them, what it always meant was, "I hope God has favor on you," because it was a declaration of God's peace. May God be good to you. May God have favor on you. May you know God's peace. I hope you do. Well, again, with Jesus Christ being alive, everything changes. And when Jesus says it, Jesus doesn't mean, "I hope God has favor on you. I hope you experience the peace of God." Now he is saying, "I am the peace of God. Peace, favor, grace, mercy be with you. I am alive." And you can know the peace of God, as Paul would write later, that surpasses all comprehension. We can't get our minds around it, but we know this: it belongs to God, and he brings it with him. It's his peace. And it's associated with his presence. Jesus came and stood among them. The first thing we are told is they're afraid of the Jews. The next thing we're told is Jesus came and stood among them. You know, we let Jesus down all the time, don't we? And we are afraid of just about everything. If we were honest to one another, if I took a poll this morning and you could write down what you're afraid of, we wouldn't have enough paper to pass out in the room. We're scared. We're scared of life. We're scared of death. We're scared of friends. We're scared of neighbors. And we're scared of relatives. Everybody has one of those. And when you are afraid, Jesus shows up. Jesus stood among them and said, "I'm right here. Right here. Peace with you." He shows up right in our midst. Good question to ask yourself this morning is, where do you want Jesus to be with you? What are you going through? What trial, what struggle do you need him to be there? And let's consider the peace that he brings with him this morning when he shows up, when he stands in your presence, when his power is in our midst, the peace that he brings in that moment that we need it so much. It starts with fear. When we are afraid, Jesus gives us peace. He gives us that peace that surpasses all comprehension. The disciples were afraid of the Jews. We get that. But you know, they were actually a little bit afraid of Jesus, because every one of them had let Jesus down. And now they were doing it. They were actually doing it. They were hiding from everybody else. They weren't out in the streets evangelizing. They weren't going about the great task of God. They weren't spreading the kingdom. They weren't finding hurting people to help. They were locked away in a room for fear of the Jews. And now they had to wonder what Jesus would say to them if he showed up. And we hear what he says. "Peace to you. Peace to you." Whatever our greatest fear is this morning, we find that peace of God in Jesus Christ. Bring that to him. Always bring that to him. The second is their confusion. When you and I are confused, Jesus brings peace. He always gives us peace in our time of confusion. Do you notice the second time he says, peace to you, is right after he has proclaimed a mission. Jesus said to them, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So along with proclaiming the mission, he says, peace to you. Because everything has changed, sometimes we're confused about what to do. Like the men who come out of the woods and they're suddenly set free, but they wonder, I don't know what to do now. My life is different. Everything has changed. Jesus says, I know that. You're going to feel that way. You're going to wonder about that. This is for all the folks that when they come to Christ, they know their relationships will change. They know their associations will change. We know our habits will change. We know we have to change friends. We know that. And we also know our mission in life might change. And so many of us will hold back from giving all to Jesus, from surrendering everything to Christ, because actually we're afraid of that confusion. We're afraid of letting go of the anchor that we have made, what we think we can make of our lives. So we say, God, I want to surrender to Christ. I want to be saved. I want to give my life to Christ. But please don't change my ambitions and my destiny. Please don't change anything dramatically. Please don't call me to Africa. God says, well, I have a plan for you. I got a good plan for you, but you're going to have to give me your whole life altogether, fully submit to Christ. He comes, he stands in the midst of you, and he says, do not be confused and do not be worried. Peace with you. And when you give your life to Christ, his plan for you is far greater than anything you could have conceived for yourself. And it's greater because it's his. He's the one that made you. He's the one that designed you. He's the one that knew you would be here this morning. He's the one that knows you need to hear that for whatever reason. You need to remember that God has a purpose and a plan for you. And that's not something to be confused about or worried about or afraid of. That's when we say, okay, God, I'm giving it all to you. So let me have that peace. Let me know that peace of following Christ. And there is no greater peace than that, is there, than following the risen Christ. It must be, if there is any contradiction in the world, we have the greatest contradiction in our lives, that we would sit here this morning and sing praises to the living Savior, God Almighty, Jesus Christ has risen from the grave, and then we say, but I'm not going to give him my whole life. Well, he just rose from the dead. He is God Almighty. He's demonstrated that. You're worshiping him for that. So why would we hold back? Why would we be afraid? Why would we be confused? Let him have your life and show you the path he's planned for you all along. One more thing. When we are doubtful, Jesus gives us peace. The only one of the crowd reported, anyway, that was out and about was Thomas. Thomas, bless his heart, has gone down through history as the doubter, as the one that doubted the resurrection of Christ. I think we need to give him a little more credit, because at least he had the courage to be gone. He may have been the only one willing to go get groceries. And he was out that day, and he comes back and he finds out that Jesus showed up. One day, 2 days, 3 days, the Bible says 8 days later. So for 8 days, they kept telling him, Thomas, we've seen him. And he kept saying, I've got to see for myself. Thomas, we talked to him. I've got to talk to him myself. Thomas, we touched him. I've got to touch him myself. I want to put my hand in the scars. 8 days later, Jesus shows up. John puts it this way beautifully. Jesus came, he stood in the midst of them, he stood right there again and said, peace with you. The rest of the conversation is to Thomas, doubting Thomas, Thomas so devoted to Christ, he was brokenhearted when Jesus died. Now Jesus has returned, he's alive, and he cares so much about Thomas's faith, he shows up just for Thomas. Read the rest of the story today. He shows up just to talk to Thomas. I just want you to know, Thomas, I'm alive. I want you to know I'm alive. I want you to know there's no reason to doubt the power of God in your life. There's no reason to doubt the plan of God in your life. There's no reason to doubt the Word of God. There's no reason to wonder, to be afraid, to be confused. Thomas, I'm alive. If we were honest, we would admit there's a lot of Thomas in all of us. There's a lot of Thomas. And it comes out when God wants to do something new in our lives. When major changes come in our lives, maybe tragedies come in our lives, but any pivot point, any major critical moment, and that doubt seeps in. And everyone around you can tell you, but God loves you. God is powerful. Jesus is alive. And you keep saying, I need to see it for myself. I need to know it again. I need God to show up again one more time. This time. The good news is He does, He will, He is alive. Your God loves you, cares for you, and shows up right in the midst of it and says, peace, I'm right here, peace with you. That's our Savior. That's our risen Lord. That's who He is. And He cares so much about your personal faith. He speaks to you in your personal life. He shows up and gives you peace. He shows up and reminds you that He loves you. He shows up and tells you every single day, every single time you need Him, that He is there for you and He loves you. I know that in this room this morning, most likely we have big fans of the Hunger Games. Hunger Games books and movies. That's all right. Don't raise your hands. I know you're excited. Did you know that Amazon, those of you who have a Kindle and you download books, do you know Amazon keeps track of anything you mark or highlight in your books? Did you know that? And at the end of every year, they tally up the most highlighted and the most marked passages in books, and they make comparisons, the books that are downloaded. Do you know in 2014, the single most highlighted passage in all books downloaded from Amazon to a Kindle, it's highlighted twice as much as the next highlighted passage. Far and away, the most highlighted passage comes from the second Hunger Games books, and it's just one sentence. It says, because sometimes things happen to people and they're not equipped to deal with them. That's it. Sometimes things happen to people and they're not equipped to deal with them. You know why that's the most highlighted passage? Because it's true. It's true. Sometimes things happen to us and we're just not equipped to deal with it. How would we respond to that? If we could answer every person that had highlighted that passage, if we could give them a phone call this morning, you know what we could say? It's true. Sometimes things happen to you that you're not equipped to handle. Three words. Peace to you. Jesus Christ is alive today. Jesus Christ knows your fears and your confusion and your doubt. Jesus Christ knows the depth of your heart and the stirrings of your mind. He is alive today. And because Jesus Christ is alive, I can say to you, you can say to me, peace to you. God has shown you mercy. God has shown you grace. God has come to you in your moment of greatest need, of greatest doubt, of greatest fear. And He says, peace. Peace. And maybe you came in here this morning not expecting God to talk to you a little bit. Maybe you came in here this morning and now you realize those are the three words you needed to hear. Peace to you. Peace to you. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, in the depth of our heart, God, sometimes there's doubt. Sometimes there's confusion. Sometimes there's hurt and disappointment, God. Sometimes, God, there is struggles we can't verbalize. There are things we can't handle in our lives. But God, not sometimes, but all the time, you're our God. You're our Savior. So, Father, today we bring that struggle, we bring that confusion, we bring that fear to you. And the words resonate and echo in our hearts, God. Peace to you right now because Jesus is alive. So, Father, I want to pray for each of us here this morning, God. Some who need to respond to you, Father, today. Some, maybe one in here, needs to give their lives to Christ today, needs today to respond to Christ for the very first time. Maybe there's one or two in here, Father, whose struggle is so great, God. We ask this morning you would lift that burden, you take that burden away, God, and bring peace to us by your presence and by your power this morning. So, God, for a moment, we're going to respond to you in song, respond to you in dedication, respond to you in prayer, God. We're going to respond to you with our lives today. We're not going to hold back, God. We're going to give all these things to you today. Now, Father, I pray for us, God, in this moment we would respond to you just as you're calling us to respond today to the risen Savior and in his name, Jesus. Amen.